Welcome to this episode of Keep the Heart. If you haven't been to the shop lately at keeptheheart.com, you'll want to pop over and check out the newest devotional book, Apply Living What We Learn. We're hearing a lot about this book and how it's inspiring people to handle the daily life situations wisely. Get your copy of Apply, a 31-day devotional at keeptheheart.com. Now let's talk about conflicts. There are regular conflicts, and then there are messy conflicts. Regular conflicts are fairly easy to resolve, but messy ones take more time. Messy conflicts are part of the cost of having relationships. There will be awkward, uncomfortable, embarrassing, infuriating, and even shocking events that happen in daily life. Maybe you're facing a messy conflict right now. It's like trying to walk over a hot bed of coals without burning your feet. Anywhere you step, there's heat.
Welcome to Keep the Heart Podcast with Francie Taylor. Francie is an author, teacher, and conference speaker known for sharing biblical insights that are practical and inspiring. Now back to today's valuable study.
Conflicts are handled wisely when we apply biblical principles, but when we just overreact to situations that we don't like, we're going to reap what we've sown. Galatians 6:8 warns us that he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Anytime we act out in heated emotional passions, we're going to have corrupted outcomes. Trouble is human. We see this stated in Job chapter 5, verse 7, where it says, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." Imperfect people will not have perfect relationships. The more relationships you have, the more opportunities you have for conflict. And not everyone has mastered the biblical practice of appropriate conflict resolution. So that means you may have to face a few toddlers stuck in adult bodies. Huh, that's not fun. We know that run-ins and strong disagreements happen. But we may make conflicts worse if we're not handling matters with wisdom. Wisdom comes from God, and He has left us a lifetime supply of wisdom in His Word. What can we do when we're facing messy conflicts? Let's consider four suggestions together. First, don't expose your problems on social media. And I'm shaking my head, no, as I'm even saying that. I don't have to say that, do I? Proverbs chapter 25, verse 9 gives us excellent guidance about keeping private matters between the parties involved. It says this, "Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another." The word debate in this verse means to plead or make a complaint. It also means to strive with words or to quarrel. In other words, you've got a conflict, and it's not an easy situation. We need to remember that difficult situations are often difficult to resolve because they have so many layers that have built up over time. By making comments about your private matters in the platforms of social media, you may actually make matters worse. This is especially true if there's already a rift between you and the others involved, and then they see you sideswiping them electronically in public? Before you make a post or an online comment that's meant to cut someone or educate them with sharp words, you press pause. The pause gives you a chance to delete before posting, and then have an honest face-to-face conversation with the person or people involved. And if you can't meet face-to-face, then try FaceTime or by phone, not texting. And if it's not possible to do that now, wait and pray until the time that you can talk with each other. No one on social media needs to know about your private matters, and you don't want to make things messier. Number 2 out of 4, don't make this all about you. Whether it's a strong disagreement with a parent and their adult child, an unfinished argument between a husband and a wife, a quarrel with a coworker, or you name it, the temptation to turn it into the me, 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 me song is huge. This temptation is also a mistake because self-focus is rooted in pride, and pride fogs our vision. The marks of making things all about ourselves is when we're finding ourselves so deeply wounded, insulted, or angered that all we can think about is the pain we're going through, and we think it's caused solely by others. We're not to blame in our minds. Proverbs 18:17 reminds us that he that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searcheth him. When we're going through a messy conflict, we'll need to be careful not to make it sound like we're without any blame at all. We may not have caused the conflict, but has there been anything we've done in our handling of the situation that could have been done better? None of us are completely the good guys without any faults. Even when we're not causing conflicts, our responses to being wronged may not be God-honoring. If you're dealing with a messy conflict and thinking more about yourself and your own feelings, stop. Rethink how you're handling your side of the mess. Ask God to reveal any errors in your thinking and to guide you in handling matters wisely. Number 3, listen to understand, not simply to formulate your comeback response. Now, do you know what I mean by that? It's so hard to hear people if we're talking while they're talking. This is a common habit, but not a good one. Conflict resolution requires good listening skills, a willingness to admit when we've been wrong, and a willingness to understand the other person's point of view. Now, if you're listening with your mouth half open so that you're ready to blurt out your next thought, you're not really fully listening. You're just pausing to formulate your next debate point. When we're not listening to others, we can't hear them. Proverbs 18:13 tells us that he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Conflicts become more heated when we're not really listening to the other person because we're so busy trying to win our side of the debate. Would you want someone to ignore what you're saying and talk over top of you while you're trying to explain your point? Why treat someone in a way that we hate being treated? When we stop talking, stop planning our comeback response, and truly listen to the other person, we may learn some surprising things that led to the disagreement. It takes patience and genuine care to be quiet long enough to listen. And finally, number 4, plan to forgive wrongdoers. Do not make this optional. Here's one of the big differences between us and God: swift forgiveness. God forgives, but we may rather hold people's feet to the fire for a bit and make them feel the burn of our bitterness. Forgiveness comes down to this: choosing to be more like Christ and less like ourselves. Listen to how God is described in Psalm 86, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. But now let's talk about us. We tend to be a bit more broken in the forgiveness department. We're a bit more like Peter, who was trying to find out if there was a limit to this forgiveness business. There's more than one way to read this verse, but it sure sounds like Peter had a run-in with someone and wanted to know if he could just be done with that person. He asked Jesus this question in Matthew 18:21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Now, Peter's question seems to say, can I be done with this offender after 7 times of forgiving them? Peter was willing to forgive, but he wanted to know, is there a limit to this? How about 7 times? Jesus corrected Peter with these words in Matthew 18:22. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Bible commentator Matthew Henry said this about Peter's question and the reply from Jesus: God multiplies his pardons, and so should we. You know that forgiving people is a habit that takes a lifetime of practice to master. No wonder Jesus said 70 times 7. In other words, quit counting and get busy doing. Clashes and disputes with others may tempt us to start keeping score. But if we're going to be like Christ, then we're going to stop counting. Imagine if Jesus kept a tally of everything we've done wrong. We would be in such a deep hole. Now, this doesn't mean that we'll be over it when we forgive and ready to move on and become close companions. It doesn't mean that. Some problems run so deep that reconciliation may even end up being one-sided, and that's on the side of the person who's striving to be biblical and forgive. But even if things aren't completely ironed over and settled, we can choose to forgive before our spirits sink into bitterness. Is there such a thing as conflict that isn't messy? Yes, there is. There are those easier situations that are just things that we have discussions about and we can agree to resolve them, and then we're fine and we're moving on. But messy conflicts cause emotional upheaval and a lot more friction. Can anything good come out of a messy conflict? Yes. God uses these situations to teach us lessons we wouldn't have learned without the conflict. Psalm 119, verse 71 is a good closing verse, reminding us that the affliction of messy conflicts can be good for us if we'll strive to learn from these events. Here's the verse. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes.
You've been listening to Keep the Heart with Francie Taylor. Subscribe to this podcast and follow Keep the Heart on Instagram. Visit the shop at keeptheheart.com for Bible studies, books, and more, along with Francie's conference event calendar. Visit keeptheheart.com today. Thank you for listening.